nothing worthwhile, the recognized symbol of excellence in crappy podcasting.
Hi, I'm Evan Moody.
And I am Andrea Grutas.
And you're listening to Nothing Worthwhile
with Moody and Gru.
Clearly a Drago.
Russia will now throw its hat into the ring.
I've seen this Drago fight.
Drago is a super athlete.
I know I can beat him.
Hey, Paolo, look, maybe the show is over. You've got nothing more to prove.
He thinks he's fighting for the whole country, but his reasons are wrong.
I'm asking, as a friend. Stand in my corner, just this one last time.
I did not come here to lose.
Perhaps this simple defeat will be a perfect example of how pathetic your society has become.
If you're my friend, I should stop this fight.
And don't do this to me.
Apollo is down.
I cannot be defeated.
Somebody get a doctor in here.
Soon, whole world will know my name. Drago. Drago.
I let it happen. I gotta take everything he's got.
He's had one professional fight and one man is dead.
It's suicide! You can't win!
This is gonna be a time when you're gonna have to do things that other people don't think are right, but they're gonna be right for you. You gotta do what you gotta do.
Has the fight been set yet?
It's in Russia.
All your strength, all your power, all your love, everything you've got.
You know what to do. Do it.
Machine. He's a man! Be more man than him!
I must break you.
Rocky is in serious trouble!
Reed, don't be scared.
Get up, you son of a bitch!
All those fighters you beat him with heart!
Get up!
Get up!
Get up!
Get up!
Going to be the 99th podcast on the last of the Action Heroes Podcast Network to break down Rocky vs. Drago. You're listening to Rocky Slycast Redo.
Oh,
I'm
Jesus.
Your host with Frog Dog and my partner Stinky Pits. Stinky Pits out in Florida. How the hell are you, my friend?
Well, now that you mention it, I think I have to go to the bathroom, so give me a second here.
We are back. We are once again by Coastal. We are live via Zoom, America's number one returning bi-coastal podcast. All right, we're doing Rocky vs. Drago.
Right.
But I go on to the last of the Action Heroes Podcast Network, which we are a proud member of.
Yeah.
We were specifically recruited by El Presidente, Ryan Rabalkin.
Mm-hmm.
I see various Van Damme-themed podcasts. I see one on Bloodsport. I thought the idea was we would stay, quote, in our lane to make the podcast special. So we would be the ones to cover Van Damme.
We were asked to do Jean-Claude Van Damme, and I would think that on our Van Damme podcast, we wouldn't be doing The Running Man. Why? Because that was a Schwarzenegger movie, not a Van Damme movie. So it was surprising to me. I think it was the Schwarzenegger podcast that did the series on Bloodsport. Yeah, it was confusing, and I'm not quite sure what us doing Rocky here is a little bit different, I think, because every one of these guys does their take on Rocky. Rocky's the genesis of this whole network, I think. So I think that's a little bit different. But I was surprised, and almost my feeling was, so why did we do it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm hurt.
I wasn't hurt. I was just a little confused.
All right, I'm gumming it up for the podcast. Come on, stop it. What do you think? I couldn't sleep last night.
Yes, I do think that you were tossing and turning. Especially when Marie called me over and over all night long, telling me that something was wrong with you. Usually, it's just your stomach, but this bug was really crawling up your ass. That's her exact words.
I'm sure Craig and Debbie are very happy for their downstairs bathroom that I'm gone, number one. Number two.
Wait, there was a downstairs bathroom?
And on today's podcast, we'll give some backstory to the Sylvester Stallone director's cut of Rocky IV, Rocky vs. Drago. Again, we'll be the umpteenth podcast to give our thoughts and review the movie. I actually went back, thank you, on your Vudu account and watched it again. I watched it again. We will give our thoughts and review and talk about the general consensus from the critics out there on Rocky versus Drago. So I will always open it up. I like to like the LeBron James of podcasting, Andrew Guthrie. I'm going to give him a layup. Andrew, I'm sure when you did your umpteenth Google search of Stallone and you read that there was going to be a recut, a director's cut, whatever you want to call it, that Stallone is going to helm for Rocky IV, called Rocky vs. Drago. Were you excited? Were you nervous? Did you have to go to the bathroom? What were your thoughts on first hearing the news, Stallone, Rocky IV, Rocky vs. Drago?
All of the above. I was excited and I was nervous and I had to go to the bathroom.
Were you nervous for real?
I wasn't nervous. I was like, at first I was like, yes, this is anything more Rocky, like he could do it till whenever and whatever, and I'll still be the first one in line. It's the series that can never get enough for me. Him doing Rocky IV excited me because Rocky IV, as we've talked about, well, I know it's your least favorite.
Yes, it is.
It's not my least favorite as far as movie quality goes. But it's my least favorite as far as Rocky and everything that the character and the series of Rocky sort of stands for. It was like Rocky becoming James Bond, and it was too heavy
Hold on. I got to follow your logic. This is what drives me batty about my friend's critical reviewing.
Yeah.
So Rocky IV was – okay, it's your least favorite in terms of
– the Rockiness. The original Rocky IV has a much different feel than all of the other Rockies. It's got a different score, a different composer, which is a big deal. Bill Conti had done all of the other ones, and this one brought in
Conti! All right, fine.
Bill Conti had done all, you know, he had created the legendary, you know, Rocky fanfare and the score. So now they're bringing in this guy Vince DiCola, who is an excellent musician, but he had a much different type of music, different type of sound, a very synthy, very 80s kind of sound. So they brought him in to replace Bill Conti. They started using a lot of popular music, you know, whereas the other ones, I think Rocky III simply just used Eye of the Tiger as sort of its theme, but then relied on the score for the rest of it. This was like you had Survivor with two songs. You had John Cafferty, No Easy Way Out, which was Robert Tell. They just basically, it just seemed to move at lightning speed.
I love that Robert Tepper, There's No Easy Way Out.
Oh, they're great songs.
I love that No Easy Way Out.
You mean the scene, like the flashback?
The song is
a good song. But the way the movie used them was sort of as narrative, to move the narrative forward, to tell the story, instead of just letting the characters tell the story. I think it was appropriate for the 80s. Everybody was trying to make shorter movies, and this certainly was that. There's definitely a part of me that absolutely loves Rocky IV the way it was, because it's still an enjoyable experience to watch. That being said, with this new one coming in, I was like, all right, maybe he'll find a way to make it into a more Rocky movie. That was what I was excited about.
Yeah, I understood your final comment. Everything else just went through my ball. It was a 10-minute diatribe.
So I should have led with that.
I understood your Rocky James Bond analogy. I certainly understand that piece, and I understood your final hope that Stallone makes Rocky IV more into a traditional Rocky movie. With that being said, Gru, this was obviously a pandemic project. Stallone was, you know, had to shut down filming, I believe, on the movie Samaritan, which interests me. He was on COVID-19 lockdown, so he took some time to recut Rocky IV. Gru, from what I understand, Stallone's project took longer than expected. He figured it would take some 3 to 4 weeks to complete the new edit. On Thursday, November 18th, at an audience Q&A in Philadelphia, Stallone remarked that the project ended up taking 9 months to perfect. That's a long time.
Because he was posting a lot while he was doing it, sort of updates from the studio and everything. You know, he goes in, he thinks in his mind he's got a couple things. Maybe going into it, he's like, all right, look, I'll get rid of the robot. I'll change some of this. I'll put some of this in there. And then he saw how much he didn't like what was there. He saw how much was available to sort of restore. He just decided, you know what? I'm going to go back to the beginning and start from the very beginning.
Did you actually speak to Sylvester Stallone?
No, but I spoke to the guy on the podcast who evidently has a pipeline to Stallone. He's like in his ear. No, that's what it seems like. Because I've been in an editing room, and it is a bitch. It's certainly not as easy as it seems. And I could tell through watching it with so many different cuts and so many different angles, that takes a lot of time. And syncing it up and with the sound and making sure everything looks as pure and as new as it possibly could be. Not surprising that it took as long as it did. And plus, he was never happy with it. He kept going back. He kept saying, yeah, we're done. And then he's like, oh, but you know what? Next, I want to go back in and try this thing. So not surprising at all that it took as long as it did.
Stallone's visit to Philly coincided with the one-night-only release of Rocky vs. Drago in theaters. After its one night in the big screen, the recut movie arrived for rent or purchase on streaming services. Gru, I believe you did see it in the theater without giving away your actual review. How did the look and feel of the Rocky vs. Drago, how did it look and feel to you on the big screen?
It looked and felt brand new. It was a whole different experience. Number one, it was my first time back in a movie theater in a long time.
You're so courageous. You are so brave.
I am. Only Rock going to be able to bring me out of my cocoon. It was pretty full house there. So that interview actually aired live before they showed the movie. And the crowd was into it. It brought me back to like when I first saw it in the theater, and the crowd cheering and rooting him on and everything. It was a fun experience, and yes, it did feel different, felt new and exciting. You know, Rocky IV is one of those movies, that all the Rocky movies, I mean, I can quote it from beginning to end. If there's a cut or if there's a change in dialogue or a look or a sound, I'm going to know it because I know that movie so well.
Oh, well, then, do you want to take yourself to the Rocky Slycast? Because this is a normal Rocky vs. Drago review. Do you want to talk about it at the 21st minute?
Well, you're
Rocky
asking.
Gazed across the crowd.
You're asking me what I felt, and that's what I felt. I felt new and fresh,
like on an exciting date.
Like Bumblebee versus Albert versus Starkist.
The recut movie, Gru, had been scheduled to be released in 2020 to celebrate Rocky IV's 35th anniversary. Amongst the changes, and Gru, you could certainly comment on them, Stallone had added never-before-seen footage of Creed's fight with Drago, of course removed the very infamous storyline about Paulie's robot maid. The re-release has about 25 minutes of new footage. Stallone said at this Q&A, but at 94 minutes long, Rocky vs. Drago only runs 3 minutes more than the original Rocky IV. I felt like the movie feels like a longer, you know, more complete sort of saga, but it's only coming in 3 minutes longer. No robot made, some more fight with Drago, Creed. Stallone said overall it's much more dramatic, but it still has the punch of the fight of the big finish at the end.
When I heard they were getting rid of the robot, I was like, good, because I wanted them to get rid of everything that was so silly. And
that's a very polarizing storyline, like really amongst Rocky fans. People get very pissed off about that robot made deal in Rocky IV, which at the time, you know, like I was young, I watched it. I didn't really give it much thought. Obviously, it was there for a comedic element.
It's become part of the lexicon. The fans that are against it, it's like heresy, because they look at the Rocky movies, and so do I to an extent, as they are what they are, for better or worse. It's almost like that robot became a character, and it was part of Paulie's storyline.
If I may interject, because I'm, yes, clearly not the Rocky fan of Slycast. However,
oh my God,
was there a feeling that the robot made kind of dumbed down Paulie in Rocky IV a little bit?
A little bit. Look, hindsight is 20/20. No. A little bit.
Work with me, Dan.
A little bit. After seeing the new movie several times, you've seen it twice. I've seen it probably four times.
Of course.
Yes.
Have to outdo Moody. Go ahead.
Yes. I was preparing for this podcast. I would say that removing the robot may have been an error.
My feeling is Paulie is minimized a bit in this recut of Rocky IV.
I agree.
He's almost a cameo character at best here. All right, okay, cameo maybe is a little.
I don't know if I go that far, but he's definitely been pushed into the back a little bit at the expense.
Sorry,
no, I'm agreeing with you.
I'm agreeing with you. You know, if we ever do an Aliens, I'm just going to be like, no.
But you know what they? But you know what they do. You're right. They sort of push him to the back a little bit and bring Adrian more front and center. She was not a huge part of the original Rocky IV.
Understood, but I have a flow. Can we stick to Rockiness, please?
All right, so I agree. Yes, I agree with you. Paulie is a background player for the most part in this one. As the movie goes on, I think he becomes more central. The absence of the robot, which cuts out a lot of Paulie's other stuff, is definitely felt.
Thank you, Andrew. Stallone, who starred, wrote, and directed Rocky IV, was joined at this Q&A premiere by Burt Young, who plays Paulie, and Turner Classic movie host and fellow Jew, Ben Mankiewicz.
Mankiewicz.
Moderated the Q&A. He got some Nova Lodge.
Did you see they had a spread? They had some black and whites. They had some Rugula.
They went to a Bagel Boss, which featured
Mandelbread.
Behind-the-scenes information of the making of the film. Mankiewicz said that he thought the recut film has more humanity than the original. I would agree with that. I think it's a little syrupy, more humanity, but I would agree it's a fuller breast cup version of Rocky IV.
That, you know what? I would love to see that when they release it on like Blu-ray or something. I want to see that as like a critic's review. Yes. It's a much bigger breast cup. Evan Moody from Nothing Worthwhile News. I want to see that on the, like the critic quote on the advertisement there. That'd be perfect.
Rue, let me give you a couple of quotes from Stallone. He said he wanted to use smaller moments in the film to showcase how Apollo was, quote, like Icarus, flying too close to the sun, and bring depth to Ivan Drago's character, demonstrating how the boxer was, quote, a victim of the Soviet Union. Stallone said, quote, Dolph Lundgren was portrayed in the first one as a robotic, foolish, nothing but a pile of flesh. This one, you realize he's been constructed like a Frankenstein monster. He's a political tool, literally just like a weapon. Over the top, Dad!
I agree with what he tried to do, and he almost did it. I just don't think he had enough footage. But there is definitely a depth to Drago here that wasn't there before. There's more humanity in this one. By the smaller moments, I definitely agree with that, especially between Apollo and Rocky. If it's guilty of anything, it's too much about Apollo. It sort of forgets that it's a Rocky movie for a little while, for the first half there. You don't agree? Can I give you the example of what I mean?
All right, fine.
What I mean is in the beginning, and this goes to what you were talking about. This is where I feel that those opening scenes of Paulie's birthday party with the robot and that is showing the sort of relaxed life that Rocky's living now. That might have been necessary because what happens otherwise is it goes right into, once they recap Rocky III, which I thought was very well done, they go right into Apollo in the pool and plot begins. I would not have minded seeing those opening scenes of Rocky at home with his son and Adrian and Paulie and doing all that. So that's why I say taking out the robot was an error. By taking out the robot, you take out all of that other stuff. I think it forgot it was a Rocky movie in the beginning. We want to see what Rocky's up to and then bring in the Apollo thing. So that's what I thought was a little bit of a mistake.
So I'm going to give a disagree on that because we didn't need a 10-minute recap of Rocky III, and that's what it felt like the beginning of the movie. Mm-hmm. It felt like really a note-for-note recap. Even with Apollo and Rocky, we've kind of seen it already in Rocky III. The movie really starts to kick off for me when Apollo is in the pool, actually, and sees, you know, a Drago. To your point about Rocky's relaxed lifestyle, I mean, do we really need that much exposition? He's a boxer who's been in million-dollar fights. You see Rocky, he's got the fancy haircut, he's got the Gucci clothes. There's a scene where Adrian goes into the kitchen, they got maids. I mean, do we really need to see a robot to get the sense that Rocky is now living a life of luxury? I don't think we need that. I'll give a respectful disagree. I thought the first 10 minutes, it's fine, but it was unnecessary. I remember watching it with you. By the way, as you were sleeping on the couch, thank you very little. Gruen says to me, we're going to watch Rocky versus Drago together. It's going to just be like we were 22 again. Like, I'm like, yeah. We get on the couch and I'm like, Gruen, this one scene. I'm like, Gruen. Anyway, so I hear what you're saying, but actually I got to give a disagree. I could have done with less Rocky III. I love the Apollo Rocky stuff in the realm of four with Drago. To your point about Rocky relaxed lifestyle, I see Rocky, his clothes, I see his mansion, I see his cars. How much more exposition do I need to know that he's got it pretty good these days?
You're not wrong on anything. It's just how we view it. At first, it was a little jarring to see, because usually the Rocky movies start with just the previous fight. Okay, then we go right into the new stuff. Here, they're going back about halfway through Rocky III, and at first I was like, what are they doing here? But then when I understood exactly, he's trying to rewrite the narrative. He's trying to make it less about Cold War and Russia versus United States and revenge, more about the friendship between Apollo and Rocky. And they're showing here how Apollo really rescued Rocky in Rocky III. Like, Rocky was done. He just wanted to capture that vibe again going into the new version. So I understand why he did it. Was it 100% necessary? No. I would have rather, instead of that taking up 10 minutes of screen time, I would have rather have had Rocky IV stuff, newer stuff, than just rehashing that. But I understand why he did it, and it almost works.
Gruen, you remember basically the plot for Rocky IV boiled down was Lundgren's Drago is an emerging boxer talent, an amateur champion from the USSR. In now what is billed as an exhibition match, Drago fights Apollo Creed, Rocky's one-time rival, now I guess best friend and trainer. Ego and the undercurrent of international tension result in the fight taking a more serious tone, and Drago kills Creed in the ring. Then seeking revenge, Rocky heads to Russia to train for his own fight against Drago. A couple of more quotes from Stallone. He chose to re-release Rocky IV because it was the most popular of the series. He said he wanted to remove the more cheesy elements of the film. I knew there was a tremendous room for improvement, Stallone said. I took a whole different turn with Rocky IV. We went for montage style, very 80s style. A lot of smoke, a lot of mirrors, a lot of filters. I look at it and I go, oh my God, what was I thinking?
Well, yeah, I mean, it makes sense because that was the commentary, not from him, but from the public at the time. The movie,
yeah, from me.
Yeah, you too. And I've always agreed with that. Even though I like it for what it is, I've always been critical of the fact that they really tried to 80s it up. They didn't have to do it. He's absolutely right. It was montage to montage. It was lightning speed, quick cuts here. So he didn't have a chance to really breathe at all. It was just one thing to the next. This was a chance to sort of slow it down, let us in a little bit, instead of just being spectators, bring us into that world. And I think he succeeded on that front.
Yeah, Stallone added some more scenes with Adrian. The role of Adrian almost went to some other actresses, or perhaps they had tried out for the role. Bette Midler, Cher, and Susan Sarandon.
Yes.
Man, if it was Susan Sarandon in her heyday, that's hot. I love
Susan
Sarandon.
Yeah, and that's the problem. That's the
I love
problem.
Susan Sarandon now, actually.
So do
she's
I.
She's like 90. She's so good looking.
Yeah, I agree.
By the way, thank God it did not go to Bette Midler. Please.
I agree. I would say thank God he didn't go to Susan Sarandon either, because then it would have been rated R, because I would have not gone to see it if she wasn't naked in it.
Would that have been maybe with Cher or Susan Sarandon? Too much sexuality coming out of the...
He said that. He said Susan Sarandon was actually kind of too attractive, or he needed somebody who was... down home,
like a housewife.
And that's what he got. They were trying to make him Robert Redford or Paul Newman or Ryan O'Neill, from what I understand. No, they didn't want him playing Rocky. They wanted two movie stars.
Okay.
Those rumors are true, and thank God that they never came to fruition.
Another perhaps point of conversation or bone of contention, of course, was that the opening, the iconic boxing glove explosion in Rocky IV, and of course the opening title is a more traditional, you know, Rocky IV, Rocky vs. Balboa, you know, screenshot as the letters move through.
Yes, I was happy that they took the gloves out, because that removal fits in with what he's trying to do. He's trying to take the focus off the Cold War battle and focus it on more on Rocky's inner battle. What I don't understand is, now that they've gone back to that, how Rocky kind of flashes across the screen in the beginning, why they did it without any fanfare. They did it basically silently. Didn't make sense. Like, why not? Since they're using some of the old music, why not, you know, have it go across the screen like dun dun da 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 da? Like, that pissed me off. It didn't make sense. Really hoping that they would go in that direction. Yes, I like the little things.
What a fan. What a fan.
I am.
I have 5 reviews. ComingSoon.net grew dated the following. Rocky IV, Rocky vs. Drago, the ultimate director cut is actually quite good. The changes made to the picture are mostly positive, at least from a critical perspective. Many of them add a distinctly human element missing from the theatrical cut, which almost rendered its characters as larger-than-life action figures. Guru of the Chicago Sun-Times online edition also liked the film, giving it 3.25 stars, saying Rocky vs. Drago has erased all traces of the robot from the story and excised some of the light banter scenes while extending Apollo's funeral scene and also fleshing out the Apollo-Drago confrontation to balance the action and show Apollo valiantly standing up to Drago, at least for a while, thus giving him a more noble demise and a more fleshed-out film. GrewScreenRant.com wasn't as positive on the film, saying Rocky vs. Drago is still a movie fans know and love, although Sylvester Stallone made numerous changes to elements that bothered him for decades. For example, Stallone cut the robot out. Thankfully, the most important parts of Rocky IV that fans adore remain intact, with only minor tweaks. James Brown performing Living in America, Rocky training in Russia set to John Cafferty's song Hearts on Fire, and the climactic final fight are the best parts of the original. Stallone's director's cut doesn't take any of that away, and his new version does make some major thematic and character improvements, and yet Rocky vs. Drago doesn't quite make the overall experience of Rocky IV significantly better. Polygon.com gave it a mixed review as well, stating Rocky vs. Drago is more ferocious than the original, but at a cost. Given its remarkably slender narrative of 91 minutes, Rocky IV is more training montage than movie. The once gaudy touchstone of 80s cinema has been transformed into a strangely grim rumination on the Warrior's code. Visually and tonally, it's much different experience. Those 42 minutes of new footage promised in a press announcement are there, but at 93 minutes with credits, it also means a third of the movie that's been a cable mainstay since the beginning of the Glasnost era is gone. This is not your bearded Gen X uncle's Rocky IV. mild chuckle. Let me get a sip of my coffee. Okay. And finally, the UK's Guardian was not positive on the film at all, stating this is a ridiculous undertaking, a polish on a Cold War relic. In any form, Rocky IV remains a goofy, threadbare fantasy of Reagan-era bootstrapism and political saber-rattling, with every mighty Rocky punch landing like a sledgehammer to the Berlin Wall. The film continues to be a less fun recycling of the entertainingly tacky Rocky III, how dare you, starting with Creed's death in the ring against Drago in Las Vegas, which is so immensely unsettling that it throws the whole Rocky IV off balance, rendering Rocky's redemption efforts hollow. I will take a breath and sip my purified drinking water. Andrew Guthrie, the floor is yours.
My review on Rocky IV, Rocky vs. Drago. First thing I'm going to do is, what's our metric? How about something having nothing to do with Rocky? Something like Van Damme and give it four Yippee-ki-yay motherfuckers.
How about Philly cheesesteaks?
All right, four Philly cheesesteaks. Okay, I'm going to give it three Philly cheesesteaks. Maybe three and a half.
That's a big difference. Three and a half.
I had a great experience watching this. While you've always really disliked the original Rocky IV, I've always liked it for what it was, but I've always wanted to see what it could have been. This new cut almost gets there. Not quite, but still a great ride. I love what they've done with Apollo's funeral. They give Duke a speech, and what Rocky says is much better than what he said in the original. You know, in the original, it was just so, all right, let's get through this so we can get over to Russia. There's a scene that is pretty much word for word from the original. It's when Apollo is trying to convince Rocky that he should take this fight. But what Stallone does is he adds in some of the old Bill Conti music. And that really changes the dynamic and the meaning of the scene. It actually shows you what music can really do. If this was the version that was released in 1984, Carl Weathers might have been up for some kind of award. This movie brings out his performance way more than the original. I love what they were able to do with Drago. There's a lot of controversy about why they cut out pretty much all of Brigitte Nielsen's performance. A lot of people think it's because of the divorce and he doesn't want her to have anything to say. I don't think that's it. I think that her character sort of emasculated Drago in the original, and they wanted to sort of put the focus back on Drago, and I think that worked, and I really like that.
Ludmilla emasculated Drago in Creed 2,
that's
not
true.
In Rocky 4. I want to comment, the funeral with Duke, it's fine, but I actually thought what he said was kind of ridiculous. Basically, he said he could die the way he wants to die on the Warrior's Code, which I thought was like 2021. I thought that was a little bit of bullcrap. Go ahead, my friend.
Yeah, but you got to remember, filmed in 1984. I also love what they did with the fights. One thing that's noticeably different is the punches don't land like A-bombs. He's replaced all the sounds of the punches with punches the way they sounded in Rocky Balboa and the way they sound in Creed. More modern and more realistic rather than the gigantic bombs that they used to be. Even for the stuff from Rocky III, from the Clubber Lang fights, he did that too. So that was interesting to see too. I love both fights. I love that they do give Apollo. He does go down fighting. It is destruction, but he never gives up. He's still throwing punches instead of just being a punching bag. I really did enjoy this immensely. I wish they would have kept in a little bit more of Rocky Jr. I wish they would have kept a little bit more of the original Rocky IV, made it a little bit longer. It still flies by, but the changes that are there all work to do exactly what I hoped it would do, and that is make it into more of a Rocky movie, and that is what it is now. With that being said, do I look at this as the definitive version of Rocky IV? No. I look at it as a supplement, as an alternative. That's what I look at it as. The original will always be the original. To me, this is more enjoyable to watch. Does that mean I'll never watch the original again? Absolutely not. Of course I will. It's still incredibly enjoyable. Stallone did, I think, as good as he could have done with this. There are some disagreements that I have about certain changes, small changes, but as a whole, I was really, really pleased. So 3 to 3.5.
Philly cheesesteaks. No, don't give me 3 to 3.5. It's either 3 or 3.5.
Okay, I'm gonna give it 3.5 because it comes just short of being exactly what I wanted it to be. And that's my review.
Thank you.
What about yours, Evan?
Thank you, Andrew. Well, I'm gonna give you my thoughts first, then I'll give you my final cheesesteak numerical metric. So I like to look at it as what I liked about the film, what I didn't like. I always start off like a parent-teacher conference. You always start off positive. What I liked about Rocky IV Drago, it is a softer, quieter, more complete film. The additional scenes really work in terms of Rocky and Apollo. There's a real mutual friendship there that's fleshed out. It's a real friendship between two warriors. You really feel the mutual respect they have for each other. I agree. Drago is a real character here. He speaks. He's a human with feelings. I did like that. The movie's less cartoony, and it is better. The sound is better. The boxing fights are more realistic. What I didn't like about Rocky vs. Drago, the 10-minute Rocky III recap was too much for me. I've seen Rocky III. I like a recap. It's going to set the stage. While I don't mind a quick glimpse, it was too much. Perseverated on it too much. Give me a quick recap, and let's get to why we're here, which is Rocky IV. Ultimately, I was never really a fan of the source material. So for me, it does improve upon Rocky IV. But if you're not a fan of Rocky IV, I don't think this will move you to change your overall feelings on the original movie. If you're a fan of Rocky IV, you may not actually like this recut because there's so much additional footage and a lot was taken out. So I've been consistent with this Rocky IV deal the whole time. And as Ryan Rabalkin messaged us on Facebook, I kind of agree with what he said, which is this will feel like another movie, which it does to an extent, but keep your expectations low. And ultimately, I agree, and that's how I feel. It improves upon the original incrementally, but not enough for me to say, wow, I really loved Rocky IV. So I'll give it 2.5 cheesesteaks because it is better. But ultimately, I think it's ultimately a silly story. It's a better silly story. I'll give it 2.5 cheeses.
Yeah, and I like how you said it's a better silly story because, yes, it is, but the silliness of the original was so much bigger. Like, it was really a grudge match. It was revenge. In this one, it's really about Rocky having to sort of redeem himself because the guilt is over the fact that it was supposed to be him fighting Drago and he chose not to.
In this recut, there's a little bit different perspective. But wasn't the guilt that he didn't throw in the towel?
Yes. And to me, that was always ridiculous.
In this version, it's a little bit murkier because I think Duke says get the towel, but already the way the movie is cut, it looks like Drago's already released the final blow, the crushing blow that kills Apollo, so to speak. So I felt like this version, and I hate getting into the minutiae like a typical Rocky nerd, but I did think that the recut sort of is a little murkier with the whole throwing in the towel scenario.
Yeah, I don't think it's about the towel anymore, which is good. Because it never made sense in the original, because Drago is beaten on this guy. One thing I wish they would have taken out of the director's cut, but they didn't for some reason. When Drago is beaten on Apollo and Rocky picks up the towel and Duke's yelling at him, throwing the towel, the referee tries to step in and stop the fight and Drago throws him away. So you tell me, what the hell's a towel going to do? Nothing.
Well, first of all, you're getting into the whole ridiculousness of
right.
The
well, but that,
fight,
but that's, is, but
first of all,
but Rocky versus Drago changes that a little bit.
He would have been DQ'd. He throws the ref in the recut as well. And he would have gotten a manslaughter charge or a
100%.
A murder charge.
You couldn't be more right, and that's always bothered me, and that's why I wish they would have taken that out of the director's cut. I don't know why they didn't, but at least they fixed that thing about the towel because it made no sense. And it was all about Apollo saying, this is what I came to do. This is who I am. If this is how I'm going to go, this is how I'm going to go. And that's what Duke's speech was about. I like how it connected a little bit. It had more of Apollo's wife and the horror she went through than they did in the original. It just seemed more interested in the characters because this is a big change too. At the very, very end.
I know what you're going to say. Rocky fist bumps.
No.
Touches gloves with Drago on the way out of the ring.
No, I do, even though I do love that. What I was talking about was, if you'll remember in the original, the Politburo, after Rocky makes his speech, they stand up and start applauding, which was mega ridiculous, especially at that time. I love in this one, they get up and storm off. I
that's
love
more
that.
Realistic.
Much
whole,
more realistic.
The whole thing is unrealistic, but that's a more
that's
realistic.
That's true, too. But this is about Rocky's doing what he feels needs to be done for him. It's not a revenge thing. It's not, I'm going to go win the Cold War. That's why they adjusted that speech a little bit. It was basically about him and Apollo, which is what Stallone was going for. You said you didn't like the recap in the beginning and stuff.
It felt long.
Well, because it was about 9 minutes longer than the usual recap, so it was definitely long. But at the same time, you also said that you were a fan of the No Easy Way Out montage, which I have never been a fan of. Was it necessary to keep that?
It's enjoyable in a bad, cheesy way. I just love the whole song, and I always fall for the Rocky workout montages. And this one's not really a workout montage. I mean, it's a bit repetitive if I took a step back and looked at it critically. I'm fine with it. Some people still had a problem. You know, the movie was obviously criticized as being montage heavy, which I guess was a capstone of 80s cinema, or perhaps the Rocky movies were falling into that trap, so to speak. So I could take it or leave it. Maybe if you're doing a more serious sort of look at Rocky IV, perhaps that maybe should have been excised.
If I absolutely had to do it, meaning if I had to put that montage in, I would have filled it with shots or with angles or with things that we've never seen before. Instead of just repeating the same things from all the movies, take whatever you can. Since he's just going through his whole life or basically the whole series, show us different angles of things instead of just showing the same old stuff if you have to do it. They had the two training montages. They had the training montage music from Vince DiCola, which I'm glad they kept because that's a great theme. That first
what,
one.
Vince Coca-Cola?
Vince Coca-Cola. That, you know, it's great. And then they have the Hearts on Fire one, and then they play Hearts on Fire at the end too. I was really hoping that they would take that second montage and put back in the original Gonna Fly Now. And then save Hearts on Fire for the end, like it was in the beginning. But whatever. They didn't do it. It's not going to change anything now. You know, I just promised myself I would talk about decisions that I would have made.
I hear you. I don't know if that would have really moved me as a viewer. I don't know if it's the first or the second montage. Obviously, they're trying to show, somehow that Rocky's threadbone training is somehow equal to Drago's overhyped computer. Which, by the way, that first scene where they're press conference and they have all the reporters and Drago's punching, and there's literally a full lab of computer scientists. I'm like, come on. Probably one guy looking at something. It's not a whole team of people. Anyway.
And then they pump him up with steroids.
And this goes back to probably that shades my review, which is I've gotten caught in this director's cut trap so many times where I'm like, oh my God, Aliens director's cut, 23 additional minutes. What I've come to find as a viewer, they had Netflix, Blade Runner. They've had the director's cut and the final cut, an additional 20-something minutes. It's definitely different, but like, how much more are you going to change the source material? You understand what I'm saying? Like, I've watched these director's cuts now. They've had them for a long time, and I know this is like a recut, and it definitely changes the movie, but I've fallen for that trap, and I've come to realize after watching all these director's cut over the years in various movies – the source material is still the source material, and most of the time it only moved it incrementally. Like, if I loved the movie, I loved it maybe slightly more, and if I didn't like the movie, maybe I liked it less or liked it. Does that make sense to you?
It makes a lot of sense, and that's actually kind of what I like about this one, because it's way more than just a director's cut. Usually, a director's cut will take deleted scenes and just put them in and then release that as the director's cut. Maybe a couple little of other subtle changes, but that would take about 3 weeks to put together. This was a brand new movie from start to finish. I can't even count the amount of different angles and different cuts. Even if they mean nothing, it's still obvious that he went way back to the beginning. There are very different musical cues, even from the Vince Coca-Cola music. He obviously tried to remake this movie as much as he could with what he had. That's not the usual process. The usual process is the director saying, yeah, put all those scenes back in and then let me look at it before you release it. That's usually what these director's cuts are. This is not that. They do it in music too. People re-record their hits, or sometimes they make changes. They're looking at it from a 21st century lens. And if without the pandemic, this wouldn't have happened. It obviously wasn't on his radar until he found himself with literally nothing to do. You could chalk it up to that as well.
If that's the case, I do want to thank publicly COVID-19 for helping us out on this one.
I've seen three different versions of like Terminator 2. And they're all the same. The only difference is that they've taken a whole bunch of deleted scenes that you could get on the outtakes of the first DVD and just throw it into the movie. There's nothing different. Those are where you get burned. This is a different experience. Do you disagree? Well, do you put this in the same category as the 19th Blade Runner
No. Cut? I will agree with that. No, there was a lot more thought put into this. If you didn't like Rocky IV, which I didn't, I don't think it's going to move the meter enough where you go, oh, I see it completely different. But I agree. I do agree with you. Stallone definitely put some thought into this. I don't know if it feels like a completely different movie, but it definitely feels like a more full, more complete cinematic experience.
So it did move the needle a little bit for you.
Yeah, I gave it 2.5 cheesesteaks.
Yeah.
I think our reviews pretty much go down the line on how we see originally Rocky IV and how we see the series, and we're pretty consistent with our reviews. We'll do other movies, usually the stuff that Andy likes about movie and doesn't like. I'm not going to say I can read it consistently across the board, but there's some generalities there, and I think Andy would say the same thing about, you know, what I like about movies and what I don't like. So
I'll agree with that.
On the Q&A group, one final thing, Stallone has teased the possibility of a prequel television series that tells the story of Rocky growing up in the 1960s. He's pitched that idea on social media earlier this year. Before we move on from the Rocky world, any thoughts on perhaps this prequel or future Rocky universe projects?
Yes, I would like it to end now. Because unless I would love to see him try what he did for Rocky IV with Rocky V, which is a movie that really sucked. I don't think he'll be able to, because I don't think there's really enough there to change. But I heard that interview, too, with talking about maybe a series about young Rocky. Don't want it. There's only one Rocky Balboa, and that's Sylvester Stallone. Nobody else could play that part. I don't care what you say. It doesn't work. And I'm not interested. For the same reason that I'm not interested in going to see another Creed movie if Rocky Balboa is not a part of it. Because this is Rocky's universe. I'm not invested enough in the Adonis Creed story by in and of itself to care without Rocky standing next to him. The answer is no. They've done everything that they can do. It's, you know, one of the biggest franchises ever. I'm good.
Okay. I think there was something pitched to Netflix, Mickey Goldschmidt, whatever Mickey's last name was.
Goldmill.
Post-World War II, opening up the gym in Philly as a Jew, perhaps dealing with post-World War II anti-Semitism, that kind of thing. That did sound
interesting. That could be interesting.
But I understand your point. I agree with you, because there's so many times these movie universes, they spin-offs and these kind of things, and it always falls flat.
Yes.
Always falls flat.
Yes. The reason that the Creed movies I thought were good is because they made it just as much about Rocky as they did about Creed. If Stallone was just there for window dressing, it wouldn't have worked. He was integral to the plot. So without him, it doesn't work. So I'm not interested.
All right. Well, that was our review of Rocky IV, Rocky First Drago. All right. You want to take us home?
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, next week we will be coming at you with another episode of Van Damme It! And it's going to be fun. It's going to be filled with mirth, mayhem, and merriment. So we got a lot coming up. And until then, ladies and gentlemen, one, two, three.
Rip 'em. Quack, quack.